coming cool. in so clear on this camera. I really be looking like that, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, I don't know how you but just stand me. Hi, and welcome back to Smell You Later. I am Narcissus, staring into my own reflection and turning to stone or whatever the fuck happened. I never really paid attention.
I think he turns into a flower.
Oh, well, I mean,
you
like...
You would turn into a flower.
Yeah. Desire, I want to turn into you. Flower, I want to turn into you.
Is that what her album's about?
I don't know. No. She just screams the whole way through it. I do like it, though.
I have controversial feelings about Caroline Polachek.
I have no feelings at all, so this is a safe space for you.
I think the music's fine. I get why people like it. There are bops. No. I think I've just, knowing as many musicians as I know who've worked with her and just hearing the not great working agreements or not agreements, I'm like...
I love that I could bring up any musician on this show and you'd be like, my friend told me that person's a rat, but good for you.
It's like a surprisingly small industry.
Yeah.
At a certain level, I feel.
Yeah.
And then it sucks because I'm just like, I don't want to know this about people. I just want to enjoy whatever my stupid little rigged Spotify algorithm feeds me and be like, oh, that's nice. I don't want to know that they don't credit their backing musicians.
Yeah, it's the less I know, the better, quite frankly.
Exactly.
About Dane everything.
Paula was right.
Isn't that the theme, the tagline to this show, though? We don't really have a tagline, but if we did.
Speaking of the less I know, the better, I feel like this comes off insensitive in that context, but have you watched that BBC documentary about the jasmine pickers in Egypt?
No. Is it the one that I'm thinking of? All the headlines this week? Okay, well.
It's on YouTube. Basically, it's highlighting a well-known problem in the fragrance supply chain where the actual people picking the ingredients make nothing while the fragrance brands are charging $300 for a fragrance. It's a 40-minute documentary. It's pretty succinct and to the point. And they called out Lancome and Aaron Beauty, mostly.
Who's under Estee, right?
Yes, who's under Estee and L'Oreal. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't really like a conclusion of who's at fault. The brands. It's weird because they refer to them as the masters in the documentary. And I was like, this sounds so biblical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's odd. The whole thing is, it's not odd. It's terrible, but it's like, girl, you should have prepped me with this take. What are you doing? Because it's like...
Sorry.
My first thought is...
It's okay not to have a take.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think people are too pressured to have takes immediately, and nothing good comes of that. We're all getting the information we're getting at the same time.
That's true. Actually, let's circle back to that. I saw those headlines, and my first thought, and you know I love to shit on a brand, especially like Estee Lauder and L'Oreal, but my first thought was like, yeah, of course these brands are, whether or not they know it, which most likely at a top level, they probably don't know that they're banking
That's off kind of what I took away.
Unethical labor of any sort. I don't think that, not to defend, but it's, I don't know where that disconnect happens. I'm sure that they don't consciously know they're using it to a point.
Yeah, they're not consciously aware. They're always like, we don't condone child labor. Of course. Nobody would say they
of
do,
course,
obviously.
Of course. But it's,
there's meant to be a third party auditor to make sure that doesn't happen. But for whatever reason, these third party auditors are not being clear enough, or they're just checking once. And they're announcing their visit, so obviously the factories can be like, everybody be on your best behavior.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is just like set up for it.
You're right. And I guess my initial thought when all this came out was, I don't know what you thought these brands operating at this global scale and selling you something at a $250, $190 price point. I don't know how you thought you got from here to there without any sort of unethical labor happening. But then also it's, what the fuck am I saying? Because it's like, we talk about this shit every week, so it's like, it's weird for me to say that in the same breath of being like, I don't condone it. If Miss Know It All, I know that it happens. I don't know.
Of course we don't condone it, and it's
well,
like, I think just because we're like more in the weeds of the fragrance industry, we're like, oh, this isn't surprising. But at the same time, like, this has been happening in the fashion industry,
of course,
ongoing.
Yeah.
And everyone, and there have been several documentaries about that, and not a ton of definitive solutions have been put in place because these factories are basically doing what they must to fulfill consumer demand. So it's like a double-edged sword. Unless people stop demanding these things at the rate and convenience that they have, unfortunately, these working conditions will probably continue from people who want to make profit off of it.
Of course.
Again, not to say it's on the consumer to fix this.
No,
we can't. It's an industry issue, but they balance off one another.
You're right. And also, it's since sustainability is such a huge talking point in every respect for every brand right now, these same brands will be the first to say, our rose is sustainably sourced from fields and for every...
Or natural.
Exactly. Everything that we pick, we replenish in the earth and it's fully sustainable and circular and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, sure. I don't know. It's just in that respect, these sort of, I don't want to say that at a mass scale, something cannot be sustainable, but can it? And even at a small scale, really, it's, listen, I don't know. It's just the only... real sustainability is to not consume at all, which is also not realistic. And we also host a fragrance podcast about consumption. So it's, God, girl, can you let me know?
Sorry.
Jesus Christ. I think we're here to talk about perfume, not child labor. God damn.
Oh God. I was honestly surprised that Allure had covered it pretty in depth.
Yeah.
Because L'Oreal and Estée are advertisers.
Right.
Yeah. Our friend Karen Espick covered it.
Karen Espick, the god.
And it was a well-reported piece. It also included the fact that L'Oreal, before the documentary had aired, they had gotten wind of it and had tried to, like, amend the situation, but that wasn't included in the documentary. So they were like, oh, we were disappointed to see that wasn't included. But
let's also, like, I guess that were they only trying to amend it because they knew they were going to get bad PR?
Yeah.
Which is also a very L'Oreal Estee Lauder thing to do.
Totally.
I don't know, but it's, I would love to say the solution is, and that's why you should shop small and, like, shop indie. But I don't think that's the case either. You know what
I mean? Well, the problem is that also where... indie perfumers, they might not know
exactly
every part of the supply chain of their ingredients either,
right?
Because there isn't industry-wide structure in place to monitor this stuff. So if anything, I'm like, that should probably be the move,
right,
y'all.
I'm not saying that it can't be done, but I'm just saying it, I will say that it can't be done on a mass scale, because I know that a $300 fragrance is not inexpensive. That is expensive, but in the grand scheme, that is a very inexpensive price tag to put on something with as big of a, like, manufacturing and marketing machine behind it. It's you got to cut costs somewhere. I don't know. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, generally speaking, but also just for smells.
Speaking of, I really don't want this to be, like, a hate our ass episode, so maybe I'll cut this out, too. And also, I don't want to, like, hate on writers since I am one, but I did see how you said not everything has to be a take. I saw this article in High Snob this week, a publication that I really do like and I think is doing some of the best coverage in beauty and fragrance. And it was titled, Where Did All the Fun Beauty Packaging Go? And it was basically saying that, like, the blanding of every industry has now hit beauty. And it cited The Ordinary and Rode as having very prescriptive, like, clinical, boring packaging, which is not untrue.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fair. It's boring as opposed to what? You know what I mean?
I don't even know if that's true, to be honest.
That's
I think there's still tons. I just went to a Kaoli event and everything was iridescent pink and purple and candy and sparkly. I'm like, I don't know about that, guys.
I know. That's what
I
saying.
I think it just depends on what beauty orb or what beauty sphere you subscribe to.
Well, and it's
whatever, like, algorithm you're stuck in.
And it's, I would make the argument potentially about the exact opposite. Like, I think that beauty packaging has never been more colorful. You know what I mean? Like, thanks to Glossier, Starface, everyone having this branded bright color, it's like you open your vanity now and it's, like, super fun. And I love that. It's, I won't make this argument because that's now just me being a contrarian, but the Rode packaging does feel like the most disruptive thing you can do just to make it gray and boring as hell. But I don't know. I was just, the first thing I saw was like, not everything has to be a take, y'all. Show me the old Estee Lauder and CoverGirl packaging. It's brown and bronze and boring.
Yes. Whenever I see articles like that, I immediately look at the byline.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who wrote this? What do you cover? What industry are you in? Because I don't know. I think there's too many warmed up, lukewarm takes. There was, like, one on Dazed Beauty, which I do like Dazed Beauty. I think they do really interesting beauty coverage, but it was just like Basically, they were equating micro TikTok trends with becoming the new beauty standard. And I'm like, no, they're not. It's like a blip in time that this thing is going to be popular
right.
with a very niche subsect of people. This isn't a thing that now everyone feels pressured to do. Maybe right. some people do, but for a moment, for like a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yep.
And then another thing will come by that will then cannibalize that interest. It's not a standard.
There is a difference between like a trend and a beauty standard. They sometimes can be the same thing, of course, but they're not yeah. always, and certainly not with TikTok anyway. Yes, I agree with you.
I was just like, guys, I think we're making something out to be a lot, I don't know. It's like throwing a pebble into a pond and then seeing a tidal wave. I'm like, that's not happening.
I think everyone's doing a little too much, including us. We host a perfume podcast.
So.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm in my unemployed era, as I always am, but where I'm like, man, I've got to start pitching stuff. But everything I read, I'm like, is this what I have to do? I just have to come up with some alarmist take on a TikTok trend. I don't want to do that.
I don't know.
I've been pitching more fragrance stuff. We'll see what lands. It's still pretty touchy editorially. I feel like if you're not pitching a commerce piece, no one cares.
Yeah, I have one editor that I go back to that I just really like as a person, but she usually, it's Faith, usually lets me do what I want, which I really appreciate. But yeah, it's hard out there right now. It's hard out there. I wouldn't want to be doing the freelance thing at the moment. Not that I'm above it. I'm certainly not. I miss that writing. Like, I do feel that hunger to put my full pussy into something, but it's also like... I just, you know, I don't like biting off more than, well, actually, I do love biting off way more than I can chew, to be honest. But
yes,
I've been trying not to, unless I know I can just knock something out. It's not for me right now. It's not my journey.
Yeah. I'm genuinely curious, like, who consumes beauty coverage and why? Do you take it to heart, or is it just, oh, that's interesting. People are looking like cats now. Okay, cool. We're foxing our eyes, whatever.
I mean, you and I have been completely immersed in beauty editorial yeah. for the better part of 15 years. So I think that yeah. the perspective of someone like just a normal person probably is consuming beauty editorial yeah. and finding it quite interesting. And frankly, with as many qualms about it as one might have when it's all you think about like us, I do feel like all like the editorial space has actually never been in a better spot. I feel like the writers are better and the standards yes. are way higher, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Things are vetted way more and fact-checked, often not always, but way more. And
yeah.
I just think that people realize, oh, if we're going to write about skincare, we should actually have people who know what they're talking about. And
I mean,
thank God, because you know what? Quite frankly, like I was at Writer just talking my shit about skincare, not having any idea what I was talking about 10 years ago. But,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, now I'm smart enough to not do that.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm like, I've definitely spread misinformation unintentionally before. And thank God that all those articles are wiped from the internet. So I don't have to worry about it. But, oh, speaking of fragrance coverage, there was a New York Times style piece
okay.
about how teenage boys are buying yes. expensive designer fragrances to yes. like smell max, which I find so funny. We grew up in the age of Axe body spray. So I'm like, boys have always been spraying too much. Since yeah. the beginning of time, boys be spraying.
Boys be spraying.
They're just now spraying YSL.
And how did we get here, Sable? Is it?
I fear that we have contributed to that mindset.
Luckily, I can't be held accountable for my actions. But
yes.
How do you mean? Just in beauty and fragrance?
Just the proliferation of being intentional with
yeah.
your personal scent.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have up and down... discouraged, if not decried, the noxious fumes of traditional men's cologne.
That is true.
At least the mainstream ones.
That is true.
I remember Arabelle Sicardi had posted on their story, they were testing out a YSL fragrance, a men's fragrance that had been sent to them.
Yeah.
And they just made this, the face that Beaker makes, the Muppet. They were like, this is what it smells like, frown. I was like, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
I don't ever in my life, in any respect, want to think about a teenage boy or how he smells. You know what I mean? I saw that headline and I was like, wow, I'm happy that exists for people to read. Let me be on my merry way. But
yeah,
I should probably ingest it, seeing as it is my job to think about perfume.
There's not much to ingest, honestly. It's just like teenage boys are buying expensive fragrances now. The end. Which I don't even think is necessarily a new thing. I think it's just that fragrances have gotten more expensive. A bottle of Acqua di Gio or Abercrombie Fierce was what, $50-$60?
Yeah.
Maybe, give or take.
Yeah.
And now they're buying like Valentino Born in Roma and it's like $300 because perfume is now $300 apparently.
I think that, and also these niche scents are way more, if not accessible, at
yes,
least
totally.
The niche is mainstream now. There
yeah.
is so there is truly no such thing as a niche anymore, which like
yeah,
I think I'm fine with because I don't know,
it's
the
fine.
Whole like gatekeepery of it all. It's if it smells good, I want to know about it. Let me in.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was the Kaylee event that I could not go to and I'm devastated about?
It was really cute.
It was at Firmenich.
There was
right?
It was at the Firmenich office.
Okay.
They had set up this cute little almost like a trivia segment.
Oh god.
And normally I hate trivia, but I love smells. And I met Mona Khatan, sweetest person alive. She was so lovely.
I'm so jealous.
And the event centered around the new Kaylee scent. Was it vanilla rock sugar candy?
Vanilla candy rock sugar, I think. Whatever.
Vanilla candy rock sugar.
All
an amalgamation
Mad
of
libs.
Those words. I know, it's like an amalgamation of those words. So it was basically just like they had given everybody tiny 2-milliliter spray vials of each individualized note. And then we would smell it and then guess what the notes are in the build of the scent.
Okay.
It's kind of cute. So I think it's a good way to get people acquainted with the individual notes of a scent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because you have to guess it. It's just like sticks in your head.
I really do even like though, that. I like when they break out and isolate notes. I know it's not.
Yeah.
I know it's a pretty standard
yeah.
thing for a perfume brand to do at an event. But I love it.
It was really cute. And it's funny because as strong as each individual note is, the actual fragrance itself just smells so different from if I had mixed all those tiny vials together, it would obviously not smell like the fragrance.
Yeah.
It would smell like something else crazy, but it was a fun event.
Oh.
And they had a little party afterwards on their patio roof deck. It was like it was funny because it was very clear that the like scent trivia was like an editor freelancer event and the party was an influencer
That's
event.
Funny.
Everyone came dressed up.
Yeah.
Everyone came dressed up in the colors of the bottle. So it was like pastel pink and purple. And I was like, wow, I did not get this memo.
Mona.
I'm just like shoving my face with charcuterie in the corner.
Good. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Mona's a glam
yeah.
girl and she loves to dress to a theme.
Is.
I am more upset than I should be that I couldn't have gone to that. God, yo,
yeah.
people.
She asked about you.
Oh.
She was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Tynan couldn't make it. It was like, believe me, you're not more sorry than he is.
Yeah, no, that is true. Thank you. God, y'all ever heard of a night event? Some of us have jobs. Damn. Shit. Sable, what do you smell like today?
So I smell like this new to me brand
yeah.
called, speaking of niche, called, I hope I'm saying this right, Binaural? Binaural. B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L-E.
Emphasis on oral.
Binaural. Anyway. Anyway, the scent is called Pet-Jus, as in juice, the French word for juice, J-U-S. It is hard to explain. And I'm honestly surprised that this was... There's four scents. They sent four scents to us. You just haven't been to my house yet to smell them. But Pet-Jus is... It smells to me... I will try and describe this without reading the notes. It smells like nectary... dew, like morning dew on a flower, on a pink flower petal, the nectar from that mixed with condensed milk.
Ooh.
And something fluffy like marabou.
Ooh.
It is like a lactonic floral musk.
Ooh.
If that makes any sense to anybody.
I don't think that sounds good to me personally, but that sounds really good.
I would think you would like this actually. Maybe I can only describe it so well on this.
Yeah.
Non-visual, non-smell medium.
Right.
It's like a lactonic candy smell.
Mm, okay.
And I was surprised I really was drawn to it because normally I'm not really into like fruity, floral, sweetie types of scents.
Yeah.
But I think something about the lactonic muskiness of it really draws me in because it gives like such a lovely texture to it. And honestly, it reminds me of a Marissa Zappa scent.
Oh.
It reminds me of the Violet Hay scent of hers,
okay.
as well as Annabelle's birthday cake.
Okay.
Because there's something like, it's like a floral gourmand. if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like an edible flower.
Right.
It feels like that.
And there are four fragrances in this collection. They all have those like kooky caps that look like bacteria.
I know. I love the caps. I think it's actually meant to be like the earth.
I don't like that.
Because like...
let me keep my opinions to myself. I'm sure they're lovely scents. I don't like that.
I feel like if you have anything resembling like tryptophobia, they'll creep you out. Or just like a weird, if you have a weird feeling about textures, like it'll freak you out. But I love a custom cap.
I have both of those things. Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate the craftsmanship that went into that. Yeah. And they're not cool. I just don't think they're me.
They're cool. They're definitely eye catching.
How did they come across us? How did we make
this? They DM'd us. Oh. That's it. Okay. They just DM'd us. And I had followed the account a while ago just because I came across them and I was like, oh, this looks really cool. Yeah. What the heck? What's going on here? So I just followed them and then they DM'd us and were like, hey, we like your podcast. So would you like to smell your smells? Sick. And I was like, hell yeah, I would.
Thank you, Oral World. I'm excited to, I appreciate the send. And I've seen a couple people that we know and love talk about them. Yeah, I think Arabella is one of them. And if they like them, I like them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're really interesting. All of the scents are they're really unique. I've not smelled many fragrances like them at all. And they're very they're experimental in a contextual way that each one is, for lack of better word, a vibe.
Okay.
And on the website, on the product page, they break it down into the world of the scent, the visuals of the scent, the feels, the sounds. I think they have a song for each one. And they call out the perfumer, which is cool. Petals You, the world, they describe it as a peony-covered paradise riddled with traps, which makes me go, what? The visuals. Original Sin, if it was directed by Sofia Coppola, which does, I think, ring more true. The feels. Satin sheets on bare skin, licking condensed milk off your finger, which I think is like probably the most accurate one. Hmm. But if you must know, the notes are peony, tuberose, nectar, vinyl, condensed milk, and tonka and musk.
Ooh, okay.
Love a vinyl note.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because there's something sweet and beckoning about it, but at the same time, there's something like off that makes you go, huh? Which I think makes sense really interesting.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to smell.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Nice.
The next time you're over.
Yeah.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I was unpacking my fragrances after I moved, famously, and I was just sort of like, who are all you people? But I was also like, I like to think about like what I love, but I haven't worn on the show yet. And with as much fragrance as we get, the pickings are slim still. We donate a lot. We rotate a lot of things out of the collection because I don't need all these fragrances. But
yeah,
I was looking hard at things I haven't talked about. And I was like, damn, we have a lot of episodes, don't we? But I can't remember if I've spoken about this one or not. But if I have, it's been a while. This is one that I haven't worn in a long time and almost got rid of, but didn't. And I'm really happy that I didn't because I'm falling like back in love with it. It is from a brand called Mark Buxton. And this scent is called Sleeping with Ghosts. And I
feel like you mentioned this like years ago. That name sounds familiar.
The name is why I copped it. And I couldn't tell you how I came across it. But they did. I know that they sent me this years ago. They sent me a full bottle. Shout out to them. I think they have since rebranded. And I think they've also since changed the name. Because now when you look it up, it is a completely different... I think the bottle's the same, but it's a completely different color. It's now jet black. And now this is called Dreaming with Ghosts. So, changes. But
a little different.
Yeah.
The sentiment's a little different.
Exactly. But
same idea.
This is... I'm also like, allergies are like beating my ass this week, so I can like low-key barely smell. But this is so, it is exactly how I remember it, but after all these years, I think I love it even more. It is like so much more magnetic to me, and I'm just so happy it's on me again. They call it it's this like plush, humid, sweet sort of suede-y scent that like clings to your skin and makes you want to lick it. And it reminds me of the look you just gave me. It reminds me, not in scent, but in like tone, of Debaser by Rado, because is this nectary sweetness, but this sweetness is less from like a fruit, like Debaser is fig and coconut. This is not that. It is that bouncy, rubbery, floral sweetness that doesn't read like a flower, but came from the earth. And it's like humid and yellow and chartreuse. And I don't know, feels like a sunset or like a really humid summer night and like the jet blackness. Oh, I don't know. Now I'm just rambling, but this is really stunning. And I'm just really enjoying the wear.
Who's the maker?
Mark Buxton, Buxton.
Okay. I don't think I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, clearly neither am I. I could not tell you how this came into my possession. But how do I even say this? The top notes are Kints and Tagetes, which I have just learned is marigold. The middle is leather and peony, and then the base is vanilla and vetiver. And
that's a lot going on.
I don't think it is, though. You know what I mean?
It sounds like a lot going on.
It's a lot of things that often work together, but in this case, it's one of those scents that sort of melts into itself and is more than the sum of its parts. You really can't separate or isolate what you're smelling. It is just this like big ball of heat. I don't know. It's beautiful, and I will definitely wear it again tomorrow. And I think it's great in the summer. It's one of those scents, again, like Debaser, that's not exactly light. It's heavy and heady, but it does feel like it would wear best in the summertime.
Yes. Certain scents just are summery. Not in the way that they're softer or less heavy, just like the profile of the scent.
What scents?
Debaser is one of them, of course. You know what? Maybe I can give this update now. The juice of my fragrance is currently macerating with my perfumer. I think it's going to be a pre-order situation.
Smart.
I don't want to make people wait for this. I wanted to launch it with a book in early July, so I'll still be able to locally get bottles to some people.
How are you, like, doing pre-orders and sends?
Basically, a pre-order is just, like, when you buy something and then it doesn't get shipped until a certain date.
But, like, what platform are you using?
I already pay for a Squarespace for my regular professional website, so, like, you can put a product page on there. So I was like, I've already got the platform.
Yeah.
And you can just shop my professional website for this one item for a limited time only until they sell out. If God willing, I hope they do.
They will. They're already sold out.
Yeah.
How many units are you doing? 300?
Realistically, 250.
Okay.
It's like, how far can we stretch this kilo? We'll see. I don't have a storage facility. They will all have to be sitting in my apartment, so I cannot do more than this.
Oh my God. You could always do a second run when it is very successful.
I'll get to that when it happens. But yes, it would technically be possible because we still have the formula. We can just ask the manufacturer to do it again. Every step of this process, I was like, wow, if you're ever going to make a product, have your budget in mind and then add 50% extra over what you think it's going to cost.
I cannot imagine. I absolutely can't imagine, but you're almost there.
I'm almost there. Between now and July, I'm in this holding period.
When does the promo really kick up?
Probably late June, early July.
Okay. I'm so excited. I don't really feel like there's been anything like of note dropping lately. It like comes in waves.
It comes in waves.
Something,
I don't know.
A fun scent thing that I was very excited about because I am gay is that Summer Fridays dropped their like hero product, the Lip Butter Balm, in a new scent, which is the lamest thing to get excited about, but it is my emotional support lip balm and the new scent.
People love that lip balm.
It is for a good reason. Have you tried it?
I have not actually. I feel like the beauty market is saturated in tinted lip balms that are really just
glosses.
Lip glosses. Yeah,
and that is true.
What's the deal?
This is the leader of the pack. This one actually does, though, I feel like, is actually a balm with, I mean, it's very glossy, but it does treat you like a balm, which is really nice. But yes, the new iced coffee flavor is here for summer. It's very cute. It's very good. It's very hot girl. And it does have a sort of mid-tone caramelly rosy brown tint, but it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's here for summer. I still prefer the pink sugar one. We'll take what we can get. We love a new scented drop. I can't stop smelling it.
I have so many of these tinted lip balm tubes.
Yeah.
So many. And I want more, even though I'm like Sable. They're all the same colors. They always come out in the same colors, too.
It's either just that funny. Or they're all sheer enough to not leave any pigment behind. And then you're just like, okay, another one of these.
I think it's just because it's a cheap-ish item. even though some of them are like $24, and I'm like, a lip balm should not be $24.
No, absolutely
like,
not.
A lip balm should be never more than $20. Never more than $15. But it's like something that's just like an easy impulse buy. It's the bread and butter.
Yeah.
Everybody wants them.
I am happy that we have, I feel like we're backing out of the lip oil era, because that truly was just like glosses. I'm like, you can just say glosses. It's fine.
Yeah. Lip oil gloss. I do think, I don't know, I always feel really silly wearing a lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so shiny and so wet looking.
Yeah.
It looks good in a photo, but just walking around, I'm always like, whoa.
How do you think I feel half the time? Fucking bareface, a beard, and a glossy lip. But it's like, like a fucking moron on all these work calls. But
it's just funny.
Listen, if I'm going to do one thing, it's put on some lip balm. So
scented lip balm, though, I feel like they could go crazier with that. Generally speaking, I want crazier flavors.
Yeah, agreed.
Glossier came out with strawberry. I'm like, okay, strawberry, really?
I succumbed to the siren call of balm.com because they tempted me with their original formula that they brought back, because Glossier can never stop reformulating every single thing in their collection. I really did love balm.com for years and years and years and years. And when they reformulated it, I don't know. I'm not going to say that they ruined it. It felt largely the same, but it didn't last as long. And I, disciple of the product, was like, okay, this is, I think, reached its end. But I had two beers and I went to Glossier and I said, give me that strawberrybalm.com. And it's back and it's as good as ever. I do think, though, that I personally have moved on from it. I think Summer Fridays has eaten it up, but it was good to live the fantasy again.
The balm.com has never done it for me, but I have noticed that certain flavors have different textures.
Oh, totally, totally. And this one,
like,
is...
the cherry one was the most moisturizing.
Do you think?
For me, personally, in my experience, the berry one, so-so.
Mm-hmm.
The fig one is like putting like petroleum oil on your face. It just like runs right off your mouth. I don't know what
really
that's about. The Swiss Miss one... I think it's limited edition. Yep. I don't know if they like brought it back permanently. They should, because it's the best color in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That one, it's not that moisturizing. It feels nice, but it's like the type that like makes your lips feel drier after wearing it.
I find,
what are you guys doing? Why do you keep reformulating this and it's still so mid?
They can never, that's how I feel about the lipstick.
All of them.
It's like fifth or sixth reformulation now, and it's still bad. It's a matte lipstick. How hard can it be?
Yeah.
And everyone still pretends like it. Anyway, didn't you get the lip liners this week?
I did.
How are they?
They're fine.
Yeah.
I was never a lip liner girl.
Mm.
I don't like a harsh line, and I don't overline. The color range is nice, I think. They follow that whole adage about your best nude lip color being the one that matches your nipples.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you've seen that many people's nipples, to be honest. Because sometimes they're just brown and gray, grayish brown. And I'm like, I don't think people want to wear grayish brown on their lips. And again, there's nothing wrong with that being a nipple color.
Sorry, but I was like checking the color of my own nipples. Sorry, you can't see this. No, I don't think that color would suit me. It's too peach.
Yeah, same. Mine, I feel like mine are just like a light, like a medium brown, but like a cool toned ashy brown. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want that on my lips. But
right.
It's a nice idea. It's like a sexy little idea that
it is. It's cute.
For some reason, people say it. But they're nice. Every time I wear lip liner, I feel like such a bitch. It's so funny.
I do prefer lip liner over almost any other format, just because I like that it's dry and just stays where you put it. I have really come around to lip liner. I think it was during the pandemic I started really doing just a groundbreaking thought, liner and gloss. But it's when I didn't have a mask on, that was what I was fucking with. And
I feel like
really
everyone's doing that.
Now, everyone is. Remember when everyone was mad at Hailey Bieber?
Lip liner and tinted. Yes, exactly. It's like the Hailey Bieber thing. The nude lip liner and then the matching tinted gloss over it. And I feel like a Bratz doll when I do that. It's funny. I'm like, but at the same time, I'm like, who am I? What is going on here? It's so funny.
I wouldn't hate to get my hands on those liners, but I don't care enough to call them in.
I was listening to a podcast about the cult of Glossier.
Okay. Ooh.
Interviewing the author of that Glossy book, Marissa Meltzer. And they had mentioned something interesting, that the quote-unquote, like, cult of the Glossier brand was solidified when they came out with the fragrance U,
mm-hmm.
mostly just because the canon of fragrance itself having these cult followings, but at the same time having this signature Glossier scent is what solidified its branding universe. And I'm like, that is actually true now that I think about it.
Hmm.
Once a brand has one signature scent, its presence is just solidified so much more.
Agreed. And before I run my big fat mouth, why do you think that is?
I'm not basing this on data. I'm basing this on vibes.
Yep.
But I think that associating a smell with a brand makes it much more memorable.
Yeah.
To people.
Yeah.
And I feel like it communicates branding in a way that's experiential,
mm-hmm.
in a very, if you know, you know, sort of way. Yeah. But also the way people associate certain scents with certain aesthetics or people, it does it for folks.
Yeah, I think it's also looking at the full picture. It's Glossier, and I don't say this from a hater perspective for once in my life. Glossier did invent the beauty brand's brand for the sake of a brand as we know it today. Mm-hmm. Like that sort of like
yeah.
brand cult loyalty that had so much less to do with the makeup
the
and
products,
skincare. Yeah. Yeah, the products, and so much more to do with just like photographing it on your sink or wearing the sweatshirt or having yeah. it in your purse. And I know that they weren't the first to do it, but they were certainly the first to usher it in the way that they did and the mm-hmm. way that we see it now. You know what I mean? I mean,
oh, totally.
And that's been replicated with, say, with Summer Fridays, like with the,
yeah.
you know, the beauty brand doing merch and having becoming a yeah. lifestyle brand, blah, blah, blah. But it's genius to me because, you know, if you like lip liner and I like mascara and we both use products completely different ways, if I'm a full beat girl yeah. and you're like a no makeup girl, like we might be using the same brand differently. Mm-hmm. We might not, but we can all go back to the scent. And yep. it's if I'm a person who doesn't wear makeup at all, but I still want a piece of that Glossier yeah. pastiche, the fragrance is a great place to get it from. And also because the totally. Fragrance doesn't fucking smell like anything. So you really don't have to have an opinion. All you have to have is $60. Like, which is great. Like, I appreciate the low price point. Yeah. I don't appreciate the fragrance because it's awful. But I think you're right. They really struck gold with that because it is.
I think the fragrance is benignly pleasant.
I'll meet you at benign.
There's something about it that is very vacant and benign, I think by design, because they're mm-hmm. like, you're the last ingredient,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because that makes me think about Victoria's Secret just launched another Bare flanker,
mm-hmm.
Bare Magnolia. And on the box, mm-hmm. it says you are the last ingredient. It's meant to mingle with your body chemistry.
Yeah.
And like, you are a note. And I'm like, you literally lifted that from Glossier.
Yeah, puppy. You sent me that and I was pretty shocked. It's not
it was so identical.
It's not like Glossier's branding or the U tagline is like that ubiquitous that it's like, it is to us, but it's maybe not to like the layman. However, it's if you're writing fragrance copy and you lift like and you use that, it's that shouldn't have been approved. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
this is probably a liability.
I was gonna say it's. I don't know if like you can come get someone for body copy in that way, but like mm-hmm. you can dry and I don't know
mm-hmm.
enough.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised at like how bold faced that was.
Yeah, same.
And at the same time, I'm like, if you were gonna go with that, you should have done that for the original Bare.
That too.
That would have made the most sense.
Streets are saying that Glossier is, if not looking to sell, then they're looking to sell. And they're getting bids and they're getting shopped around, this and that. But
I read that.
The headline is Glossier U is the reason suitors are coming knocking on their door. I think LVMH is the one that keeps getting name dropped first because they really want to reinvest into you and make it a larger franchise, like do more in fragrance and really expand that world, which like doesn't shock me. Investors always want to mm-hmm. do that. And like people acquiring brands always want to be like, okay, what's working? Let's do it 100 more times. I would be deeply interested in seeing what the second Glossier, third Glossier scent would be, though I think we already have it.
Glossier
it's just not
me.
An EDP form. Glossier me. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's interesting that Glossier has cannibalized itself now that they're just another makeup brand, which is fine. Like they're in Sephora, they're doing full coverage foundation, they're doing all of this. So I guess like obviously the logical move is to sell, but it'll be interesting when someone else really gets behind the wheel and, you know, sees what happens and what is possible.
It'd be really funny if they like eventually just filter down to be like, now we're in Walmart. Now we're in Target. Right. But I think it'd be hilarious if there was a Glossier Me set.
Glossier Me. Glossier Us.
Glossier Us.
Glossier They Them.
Appleson.
Happy Pride, everyone. My headphones are dying, so we gotta wrap this up.
Okay.
Kara just sent me this, and I think we can talk about it because like they're already teasing it, so it's about to launch. What? But did you see Boy Smells is doing a candle for Pride called Citrush? And it is essentially what? Made to look like a bottle of poppers.
Oh my God.
I'm like, can we all just stop joking about poppers? We got to take care of our brains. None of you have any in the first place. And I include myself in
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing a perfume with
that's it. Uncanny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Citrus high of pomelo, black pepper, and musks.
That is silly. Oh my God.
Yeah. God bless. It looks like the Soviet flag.
Wait, when is that coming out?
They're already teasing it on Instagram. Knowing them, we'll fucking break an embargo that they didn't tell us about. But
hey, if it's on Instagram, it's fair game.
There you go. Yeah, it's coming allegedly soon. I hope it's out by the time this episode comes out, because I'm not editing this out. You know what?
Do people do poppers for not gay reasons?
I don't really think
just
so.
Just like for fun?
I'm not endorsing any behavior. I don't like poppers, but calling it a drug seems a little drastic, but I think it's just like a casual sex drug.
I've non-sexually sniffed poppers once.
Sable.
And it made me lightheaded for like a minute, and then it was like, that's it. And I was like, what?
There are a few conversations that I thought I'd never have with you, but that was certainly one of them.
If someone has it and you're just curious and it's like literally just like a smelling salt, that's you're like,
true.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah.
Nothing goes in me, really. It's just like a smell. And then I was like,
that's it does it. After you use some poppers, girl. Talk to some of the boys out here. If you don't know what poppers maybe. Are, don't Google them. You didn't hear about them from us, please.
Anytime I do drugs, I'm always like, maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I did it wrong.
God. We should wrap.
Anyway, thank you for listening to our podcast about not doing drugs.
Exactly.
Exactly. Please give us 5 stars and 5 stars only anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find us at our website, Smelly Later Live. You can leave us a voice note. Follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.
Later.
Got it.